Today we have lesson number 42 in our study of Mishnayos Maseches Trumos, and we will continue Perek Asiri, the 10th Perek, today Mishnah Gimel and Mishnah Dalet, Mishnah 3 and Mishnah 4. And as I explained yesterday, this Perek of Maseches Trumos, Perek Asiri, deals with the major principles of the laws of Ta'aruvos, the laws which affect us daily in our kosher kitchens. And we already learned some basic rules which apply across the board, not just to Truma, of Nosein Tam, of Nosein Tam Lifkam, of Dovor HaMechametz, etc. Now we're going to learn some more halachos in the context of Truma, but rules and standards and guidelines, principles which have wide application beyond the field of Truma. Now, of course, when one studies Mishnayos, and I say this occasionally just as words of caution, we're not learning halacha lemaise. We're not learning actual practical bottom line halacha. We're learning some of the principles involved in bottom line halacha. So please do not use any of the leniencies or stringencies which we will be learning about and apply them in your own daily life in your kitchen. But it's important to know that these are the ultimate sources for these halachos, or among the ultimate sources for these halachos. So we have now Mishnah Gimel. Horode paschama. If a person takes some hot bread out of the oven. Roda is the process by which one removes a hot loaf of bread from an oven. So the bread now is hot, and it's chulin, perfectly kosher chulin bread. Unisonoh al pichovis shel yein truma. And you put this hot bread upon a barrel of truma wine. And what's happening now is the aroma of the wine is arising out of the barrel and coming into contact, perhaps, arguably, with the bread. Now the bread has within it a flavor or perhaps even the essence of some truma. Is the bread mutar to a non-kohen or not? This is a classic machlokas, and it is discussed at great length in the Gemara, in Meseches Psochim, Daf Ayin Vov Omid Beis. However, in the interests of both simplicity and just simply following the major commentator on the Mishnah, the Bartanura, we're not going to go into the details and differences which are discussed in complicated detail in the Gemara Meseches Psochim. We're going to try to keep it rather simple and just stick to the basics. Rabbi Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir says the bread is now Oser, meaning it's Oser to a non-Kohen. The bread has absorbed Yayin Shel Truma because Rabbi Meir believes in the halachic principle of Recha Milsahi. Odor, fragrance, aroma does count. And since there's an aroma of wine, maybe not be an actual physical presence of wine, but there's the fragrance of wine absorbed now in the bread, and the wine was truma, the bread is now truma and can only be eaten by a kohen. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda holds the opposite. Recha lav milsahi. A mere fragrance, a mere aroma is not considered of great importance. It's not substance. It's just flavor. It's just aroma. And therefore it's inconsequential. It's not that important. And therefore, the bread, although you may actually taste a fragrance of yayin in the bread, is now wine-flavored bread, but recha, just odor, aroma, fragrance alone, is negligible halachically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so even a non-Kohen can eat this bread. Rabbi Yosir matir b'shel chitim. Rabbi Yossi agrees in the case of chitim. Simplest pshat is to say that Rabbi Yossi agrees to the principle of recha lav milsahi as Rabbi Yehuda. Fragrance is negligible, except in the case of barley bread.
the Oser Bishel Sa'odim. Rabbi Yossi says that if it's barley bread in this situation, then it cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen because it has absorbed actually some of the moisture of the wine. In other words, Rabbi Yossi will hold that barley bread has a certain quality that actually can absorb bits of wine, some of the actual liquid. In this case, you have some of the liquid in the bread. Liquid is truma here, wine shel truma, and therefore it cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen. Mipnei shehasaodim shoavos, because saodim, barley flour, barley grain, barley bread has the power of actually absorbing lachluchis shel yayin, some of the moisture of the wine. And as I said, I can't emphasize this enough, we're learning the simple Mishnah, following the simple Pshat, and there's more to it. For that further study, see the Talmudic sources on this Mishnah, especially Psochim, Daf, Ayin, Vav, Amid, Beis. Now we continue with Mishnah Dalit. Tanur, an oven, Shehisiko b'chamon shel truma. The oven was heated up, and what was used as fuel was not twigs and sticks of a face of an oak tree, but rather bits of chamon. Chamon is cumin, C-U-M-I-N, which is a very odorous or fragrant type of plant, which can be used as fuel, but which also is used as a flavoring. It's something which is a flavoring for bread. And in this case, it was not used as tavlin, as a spice, as a herb, to give fragrance to whatever is baked in the oven. It was simply used as fuel. Now that the oven is hot, v'ofabo, you take some dough and put it into the oven and bake it, and you have resultant pas, you have resultant bread. But the bread ultimately was derived from the fact that you use kamon shel truma, cumin of truma, as the fuel. Now, the fact that you got the benefit of the cumin as fuel, of the kamon as fuel, that itself is not a problem because you are allowed to have hana'a from truma. Truma is only osur to azor ba'achila, but it's mutor ba'hanoh. So if you take fuel of truma and the Yisrael azor, non-Kohen, derives benefit from fuel, which is truma, that itself is not the problem. The problem here is that perhaps we are concerned with the odor, with the pungent fragrance of the chamon, which is now absorbed into the bread, and the chamon is truma. So the Mishnah says, no problem. She'ein tam kamon, el reach kamon. There is no actual taste of a substance known as chamon. All you have is the fragrant odor of chamon. And this Mishnah is following the previous Mishnah's position of Rabbi Yehuda, of recho lav milsohi, that fragrance alone is not important, is negligible, is not essential, not the same as the essence. And therefore, since recho lav milsohi, and all you have here is a reach of a fragrance of chamon, then it is no problem. It is mutar. The Gemara in Meseches Avodah Zorah, Dav Samach Vov Amid Beis, argues that this Mishnah Dalid, could actually follow the rule of recho milsohi, that the fragrance is important. But the difference is, this is difference from the case of the wine. In the case of the wine, that Mandioma Rabbi Meir would hold Recha Milsahi, because the wine is there. The wine is not going anywhere. It's just giving off fragrance. Under such a situation, fragrance is not negligible. Fragrance is a major factor, according to Rabbi Meir. Recha Milsahi. But here, the chamon is being destroyed in the process. It's being burnt. And if it's being burnt in the process, then even the Mandi Omar, who normally holds Recha Milsahi, Rabbi Meir, in this situation would say, no problem with the chamon. So according to that bit of Gemara, our Mishnah Dalit here, can be following the opinion of Recha Milsahi. However, it's certainly much simpler to learn that this Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and Reichel Lav Milsohi, and therefore the fragrant odor of the Chamon is halachically negligible. And so we have finished lesson number 42.